Oh, Darren did it again. He scheduled up a fantastic Wednesday show for us. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Second hour, Carlo Broussard is going to be here with us, and we're going to talk about the intercession of the saints. And whether you believe in the intercession of the saints or not, it will be the show for you. Your questions welcome. If you need a saint to be your intercessor, or if you want to challenge the Catholic idea that saints do in fact pray for us and help us from the other side, that'll be the second hour. This hour, two of my favorite people on Catholic radio, on radio, on the earth, in this galaxy. That's right. That's right. We're going to talk. And let me give you the topic first, because I'd love it if you would. I know there's going to be a lot of people who want to call on this, and we're going to talk about parents whose children have left the church, especially if you have adult children, and maybe you're struggling with that, and you'd like some help on what to do, but also maybe some help dealing with the fact that I think a lot of us end up with, and I put myself in this category as well, we end up with children who either are not currently in communion with the church or in sync with the church, or it may seem like a more permanent thing. And that can bring up tremendous feelings of guilt. How did I fail as a parent? All of that. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Our guests are the hosts of The Daily, a radio broadcast that is broadcast across this country and around the world. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. They are Debbie Giorgiani and Jerry Usher. Jerry's been one of the key figures in Catholic radio for a very long time. As a matter of fact, on Saturday, he celebrates... I don't. Am I supposed to say this, Jerry?
You may.
I don't have to say the number.
I shared this with Cy in an email. So,
But then I realized, oh, I wonder if he wants me to say that. 39 years. Okay, Saturday, 39 years of doing this, and Debbie Giorgiani, 25 years as a catechetical minister in the Diocese of Phoenix, where she's still a super big deal. She's worked at Immaculate Heart Radio, Relevant Radio, and now she is at EWTN with Jerry, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hello, Jerry and Debbie.
Hey, Cy.
Takes a long time to introduce you two. You're two very fancy people.
Cy, as you were doing that introduction, and I said, wow, weren't you wondering, Jerry, who he was speaking about, who his favorite people were?
Exactly.
You guys know that. Come on. The thing I always forget to mention about you, Debbie, is you were once a competitive golfer. And you are – I don't think you're still competing as a golfer, but you are competitive in everything else.
You're saying in nature side?
In everything. my favorite Debbie Giorgiani competitiveness sentence was the time somebody said, Cy, we were starting a meeting at Immaculate Heart Radio. So I said, Cy, will you offer the prayer to begin the meeting? And you said, this is going to be a great prayer. I was like, Debbie, she's like your coach all the time.
So those were the days.
Yeah, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I know you must take many calls on this, actually, and I know you've devoted hours of broadcasting to it. But those of us who have adult children, we are often left with this feeling of, I could have done more. What did I do wrong? My kids have left the church.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to go first, Jerry, would you like me to go first?
Fire away. But let's let people know that we want to hear from them today. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about this, but this is going to be interactive, as Catholic Answers Live always is. So that number is 888-318-7884. Again, we're talking, if you have children, they can be any age, but in particular adult children who have left the church, maybe stopped practicing their faith, that's got to be a burden on your heart. At least we hope that it is, and maybe you're feeling real heavy weight about that. Maybe you did do some things to drive them away. Maybe you did the best possible job you could, and you're still feeling like, what did I do wrong? So let's talk about this on the program. Go ahead, Deb.
I was just going to say, on the show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, we do a monthly, at the beginning of every month, a live show dedicated to prayer. And as we know, I can probably safely say across the radio land, everybody feels this way. It's the number one prayer intention that parents have on their hearts, and that is that their children have left the faith. They want their children to come back, and you can just hear in their prayer requests the pain that is deeply, embedded in their souls, if you will. that they just feel like, wow, how can I get to heaven? And here I may be possibly leaving my children behind. And it's a terrible thing that they are feeling, the weight they are carrying. And we would like to hear from you, because if you're feeling this or you want to talk about it, we really believe that there's other ways to deal with it and even attack it, spiritually attack it, if you will, in a good way. So we'd love to hear from you, because we've learned this over the years. We've been broadcasting Take Two now. We're coming up on our fourth anniversary, June 15th. Yeah, over 1,000 live shows we've done. And it's amazing. We just hear the same reoccurring themes. Wouldn't you agree, Jerry? The same exact things. And we're all dealing with it. But I think sometimes we feel like we're dealing with it in our own way on our own island.
888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. I wanted to confess something to the two of you, and I don't know if this was the case with either of you, but I was the child who disappointed his parents, or least gave them a great deal of reason to worry about me in my 20s. And so I sometimes feel like I get the feeling with my own children, if they stray, like, give them till they're 30, because that's about when it started to come back around for me. I don't know if that's the right attitude or not, but I've seen it from both sides, I guess.
Well, I think the key is, you know, look at our own life experiences. You know, I'd ask for a show of hands. How many of us were away from, you know, the church didn't hold any significance for us, God, the faith, you know, going to church, praying, all this stuff, you know, from my teens up until my early, probably 23, 24 years old, that was the case for me. And, you know, our mother did the best that she could, basically, to raise five kids kind of as a single mom. And, you know, I'm sure she was worried, but she prayed a lot. And right now I've still got, you know, a couple of siblings who I think don't go to Mass. They're very, you know, conservative and moral and ethical and all this stuff in their thinking. But, you know, they are just simply not, you know, church going and practicing right now. So, but, you know, I would say this, you know, just as hope. My family is 3 for 3 right now. My father was away from the church for 30, 35 years, died in the embrace of Holy Mother Church. My mother, of course, died in you know, God's favor. And my sister, who had been away from the church for 30 or 40 years, you know, got that that very sudden cancer diagnosis in late 2016 and was dead 3 months later. But she saw a priest, was reconciled, died, you know, offering her suffering to God. So I just offer those as hope for everybody, because God wants us back, Debbie and Si, more than we could possibly ever want our family, our kids, yes, and our siblings back. So
indeed. You guys have lit up every single line right now, so I think I better go to calls. Darren in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. You are first up today. Your question or comment for Jerry and Debbie.
My comment is, I fell away from the church for about 25 to 30 years, and it was right after confirmation. And I've talked to a number of people who are like me, and we all agree on one thing. It's because the church did no follow-up with us after being confirmed. They just made the assumption, you know what to do, do it. And I just want your thoughts on it. I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah,
Jerry, would you like me to go
ahead? You spent a long time in religious education and catechesis. Why don't you swing at it first? If there's anything I need to add, I will, but go for it. I think this is right up your alley.
And I believe you said Darren is your name? I didn't quite catch that on the screen. Okay. Hi, Darren. It's Debbie. And Darren, you know what? I totally agree with you. I think from a religious education standpoint, we've done a poor job at helping the young adults continue in the journey of their faith, deepening their relationship with God. We've given them very few opportunities to come together and to be with their peers. I know there were things like Theology on Tap, and then you had other campus ministries and stuff, and those are all fantastic and great, and they're working. But as a parish, you know, when the kids are confirmed and they start to branch out into their adult life, if they go to college, or even in junior or senior in high school, they're out there working, doing things, sports and stuff like that. And they want to come back to their home parish and have it be a very vibrant place for them to practice their faith. And what I mean by that, Darren, is an opportunity to explore things and ask questions and just grow and deepening their faith. And without that, they go out into the world, and then the world becomes their spiritual teacher. And it's really unfortunate. And it sounds like that possibly happened to you, Darren. But one thing I just want to say real quickly, you're very blessed, though, because if you listen to the words of Saint Vincent Ferrer, and Saint Vincent Ferrer is not, he may not be a very well-known saint, but he was a very strong, spiritually strong saint, very close to the angels. And he used to do a lot of work on prophecies in the end times. And he talked about that during the final days, okay, during the final days, there's going to be such this lax in religion, and people are going to feel that the sacrament of confirmation is unnecessary. And it's not true, because when the false prophet and the Antichrist comes, all who are, and this is, I'm paraphrasing what he said, all who are not confirmed will renounce the faith, while those who are confirmed will stand firm in the faith, and only a few will renounce Christ. So you were very blessed that you received confirmation. So you have to look at it like from that perspective too. But anything I said, does that resonate with you? But I totally agree with you. We need to do more for young adults.
Darren?
It does. It's been a 30-year journey. I actually just came back about a year and a half, 2 years ago. It's been trials and tribulations since, and I've been working with my priest quite often, and I'm coming back. I'm back.
Well, praise God, brother. Welcome
indeed.
Home. Welcome
thanks
home.
Be to God.
We got to take a break, and I gotta do my breathing exercises. It makes me nervous when Jerry's here, Debbie. Did you know that? Because, you know, everybody knows this, but I'll just repeat it.
Afraid of what I might say, Si? Is that it?
I'm just afraid of not living up to the standards. But
the legend?
The legend. That's it. He's Jerry Usher, the legend.
How do you think I feel?
He's the founder.
I work with him every day.
He founded this program, Catholic Answers Live, and then and he keeps saving it, like, all the time. So we're very grateful to have both of you here. But only Jerry is intimidating to me. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Catholic Radio, I believe, is the greatest tool for evangelization that the Church has today. And I know this because we hear from people all over the world that tell us all the time they came to faith in Christ, in the Catholic Church, through Catholic Radio. Guy that lives right next door to you, he might not ask you about your Catholic faith, but he'll ask us. He'll call in and say, "Tell me about the Catholic Church."
Dr. David Anders thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie airs daily on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And that you can tell just by the word global in there, that's a big deal. And the hosts of that show, Jerry and Debbie, are here with us this hour to talk about our children and our feelings about our children, and maybe give us some hope and some pointers as parents about those children who have fallen away from the faith, or maybe they're younger children. You hear from children as young as fifth and sixth grade now. We really do hear from children as young as fifth and sixth grade who say, "I don't believe in God." And it often has to do with things that they have seen or heard on the internet. But it's a crucible for them out there. And that means that there are a lot of parents who weep over their children. And so we'd like to help with that today. And your calls are welcome for Jerry and Debbie. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. We go now to Kathleen in Tampa, Florida, listening on the EWTN app. Kathleen, your question or comment for Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
You're on with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi. Oh, hi, Jerry and Debbie. I listen to you all the time. I love listening to you, and a lot of times people call in, and they answer the question I had. So,
beautiful.
But this
Thanks,
one
Catherine.
Kind of stumped me. My 35-year-old daughter lives in another state, and I was intending to visit her at her invitation over Easter. And prior to my arrival, she said she wanted to go to confession, and I happened to know that she hasn't really done any of the practice of the Catholic faith other than praying privately at home for about 10 years. So I casually said, oh, that sounds good. And she said, I've already looked it up, and they have the stations and confession at the same time. And so I don't know if you want to go to confession or do the stations, but I can go to confession if you choose to do that. I casually agreed because I haven't pushed anything. She was raised in a Catholic home. There's, an intact home, et cetera. So it just seemed like she was coming back to that. And for her to say, I want to go to confession, it just seemed to me that she had done a lot of soul searching. She's a highly intelligent, deep thinker. So I assumed that there had been a lot that went into this process. When she met me after work in the church and the stations had already started, she sat next to me and I said, the line for the confession's over there. I don't know if you know that. And she said, yeah, I know. I'm not going. I said, okay. So I just thought, okay, she changed her mind. I don't know why, but she did. That evening, I just casually questioned, did something happen? Is everything okay? And she became very combative, a little belligerent toward me, told me, kind of questioned who I think I am as a cat. It was I didn't fight back, but it was quite bewildering because
I
didn't
understand.
Yeah,
that's a turn of events there. Is that what you would like Jerry and Debbie to comment
on? Okay, so then the next thing that happened was she did go to confession the next morning. And when she returned, she wasn't belligerent anymore, but she wasn't happy.
Okay.
And I'd like to know, I've never heard of that. I've never heard of anybody discerning the idea of going to confession after 10 years and then being angry about it.
Well, Jerry.
Yeah, Kathleen, thank you for listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We appreciate that. You know what? The thing that is coming to me right now is for you to just rejoice in the fact that she went. For whatever reason, what's coming to my mind is, remember, in Olympic diving and gymnastics, they throw out the high and low score. So you've got a high score and a low score. Somewhere in the middle is really kind of where your daughter is right now. God's grace is active and moving and present in her life, and undoubtedly due to your prayers and so many other things as well. And, you can only rejoice in the victories of the little small steps that she's taking. She took a huge step right there. And we know that grace comes through the sacrament. So, assuming it was a valid, sacrament, we have to believe it was. She was in a state of grace again. And, that grace, along with God's, the graces that he gives us to continue to pursue him and to get back to our faith, I think are going to be active and vibrant in her life at some point. Debbie, what do you think about Kathleen's situation here?
I totally agree with everything you said, Jerry, and I would love to hear real quickly of Kathleen's response to that. But real quickly, Kathleen, based on your story and the circumstances of it and being, you said when you went to go visit her at Easter, it sounds like your daughter's struggling spiritually. We know what the truth is deep down in our soul. If we, as we get older, you start to, it becomes very obvious to you as you get older. People try to run from it. People down deep know the truth, okay? And your daughter was drawn to the sacrament of confession. There's a reason for that. It sounds like maybe she wanted to be freed of something or to start fresh in the faith. And then it seemed like there was that anger, how she was kind of combative, you said. And my gut's telling me as a parent that she just is struggling. What I would suggest, two things. One is I would definitely pray. And Darren from Bismarck, North Dakota, if you're still listening, this is for you as well. I would definitely pray to your guardian angel, Kathleen, to ask her guardian angel. Remember, the angels communicate with one another, okay? And ask for her guardian angel to help her along, because our guardian angels help us with our memories, our actions, our imagination. And it's very important that they're active in our life. And I would suggest that maybe at the right, at the appropriate time, if you can, Kathleen, ask your daughter, say, you know, do you know that you have a guardian angel that is journeying with you on this journey of life? Isn't that exciting? You have your guardian angel that God gave you. And if she asks you more about it, tell her about Psalm 91. Talk a little bit more, a little bit about how the guardian angel is there to guard and to guide and to be with you. It sounds like she's struggling. Am I right on that, or what are you feeling from as a mother?
Of course, I assume she's struggling. I do, and I do pray for her. And I, you know, often will just say good night. I love you, angels watching over you. I'm sending my guardian angel. I know today was a difficult day. She kind of shut that whole conversation down. She doesn't want to hear any more about it, is what she said. So I'm sort of betwixt and between. Do I just privately pray for her, not saying anything more? She's been very distant. I'm afraid I'll open up some kind of wound, or I think maybe I can't say anything, like even as innocuous as what I did before, which was...
I have to say, I do think a lot of parents share this question. My child is shut down to this. Mm-hmm. And so where do I go from there? What am I supposed to do now? It's not like there's an open conversation about it.
Yeah, I think the key, Debbie would, I presume, agree. The key is just simply at that point, you just take a hands-off approach. Like you said, Kathleen, if you had this ongoing conversation and some signs of enthusiasm from her at one point, not all of a sudden she wants to shut that down. You know, I've never had kids. I've not been married, so I can't personally relate to this particular phenomenon, but I can try to imagine it, and I can only imagine that as a parent, you want nothing more than your kids to have a relationship with God, to practice their faith, to get to heaven, to be saved. And when they're, you know, in a place where, you know, it's objectively speaking, at least putting that at risk, it's got to be, you know, so tempting for a parent to just plunge in there and say, let me fix this. Let me help you. Let me show you this. Read this book. Go to, you know,
yep.
And when Debbie, the real difficult thing, but the one that allows God's grace maybe to get in there more, is for the parent to say, okay, it's cool. Everything's great. Let's have our relationship and just pray privately and let the Holy Spirit and His grace do what they're going to do.
Right, exactly. And to enlist the heavenly realm, you know, to ask the Blessed Mother to step in, to ask the saints, the angels. And yeah, Kathleen, you have that spiritual power in prayer. And we know from St. Monica, we know it definitely works. So I would definitely do that. And then be at peace, because know that they are taking over. And that is the truth. Okay, when you ask the saints and the angels, and especially the Blessed Mother, to step in, they take over, and that's a good thing, and it brings a lot of peace to parents. So we're going to pray for that, Kathleen, because that I could hear the pain in your heart, and see, this is what we're all dealing with, and maybe it's good that we're talking about it. So we'll be praying.
No, maybe about it. I think it is. It's something that very much needs to be talked about. There's a lot of wounds, a lot of hurting out there. Kathleen, thank you very much for sharing your story with us and your question. Let's go to Cheryl now in Kansas, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Cheryl, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Jerry and Debbie.
My question, I guess, I'm not sure what the question is. I have five kids, got the younger two, the 28-year-old daughter. Although she was very into her faith, after the first year or so of college, I mean, she was one I actually thought would really stay with the church forever. But I think if she kind of take a feminist move, and she's basically saying, you know, mostly I think it's a fact that we can't have women priests. The church shuns women.
Right.
You know, no matter what I say on this one to try to defend the church or whatever, I can never think of the right things to say. I always feel like I'm being attacked. But...
Okay,
anyway, that's I'm not sure exactly which way to go on this one.
Yeah, that's a nub of what about that? That thing about the child has a different kind of ideology now. I don't know if that's the right word, but and the parent feels attacked. I'm sure that's very common.
Well, there
as
are
well.
plenty of ideologies out there. Debbie, you want to take a swing at this one first? And
there's a wonderful priest. I can't think of his name right now, but he wrote a great letter to his parish about this exact subject, and Cheryl, and he kept saying, you have to practice this routine with how you're going to approach these children of ours that have walked away, changed the way they believe, have a different feeling about the church. And he listed a kind of a recipe for all of us as parents. And I've seen a lot of this, but I think this one's phenomenal. He says, do we have to take a break, Si?
Yeah, well, let's do that. Let's take a break. Well, then we'll get it in without the music bed underneath it when we come back. I said
sounds
music
great.
Bed to try
hold
to impress
on,
Jerry Usher. I wanted Jerry to know I knew the term.
Well,
music
let's see
bed.
If you can hit the post. Then I'll be
oh,
really impressed.
Oh, man. Okay. I have 13 seconds to hit the post. So you're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Jerry and Debbie are our guests from Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, heard daily on EWTN Radio.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew she wanted those things, that in them, somehow, she would find God. Over the years, as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Debbie Usher, Jerry Giorgiani, our guest this hour. Sorry. Debbie.
You messed that up.
Jerry Usher, Debbie Giorgiani, our guests. They are the hosts daily of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're talking about parenting, in particular parenting, when your children have left the church or maybe are struggling in their relationship with the church. We welcome your calls. I will warn you right now that every line is full, so when you hear somebody hang up, that might be the time to dial 888-31-TRUTH. We were talking with Cheryl in Kansas when we went to the break. Debbie, and you wanted to finish up what you were saying.
I do. So this wonderful priest wrote to his parishioners, and he gave these seven suggestions, Cheryl, about what to do when we as parents are encountering our children who have rejected the faith. Number one, he says, keep praying. And he talked about the go-to saint, Saint Monica. We talked about that. But I just wanted to stress, you know, because we don't see immediate results when we pray, it feels, how do I say this? It feels like it's not in our grasp. We can't control it as parents. And as parents, let's face it, our children fall, we put a Band-Aid on it. Our children get, you know, do anything, we fix it right away. We want to make it right for our children right away. And in prayer, it doesn't always go that way. And so that's very important, to ramp up our prayer life, which I'm sure you're doing and everybody else is doing. But then he says, number two is back off. He says, back off. He says, do not really engage with them. And then he actually put here, he was being a little flippant. He said, you know, don't beat them over the head with the Bible or whip them with a rosary. And I'm not saying anybody's doing that, but we can as parents, because again, we want to fix it quickly. We know the truth. Okay. We want our kids to come to the truth. I think it's very innocent, but sometimes it can actually push them away. And then he says, make daily sacrifices. Mm. And that is something that I have not done for my children who have left the faith. I'll freely admit that. But it's so true. He says, make daily sacrifices, small opportunities to offer up these beautiful sacrifices. The example was, he says, don't put cream in your coffee today if you always like cream in your coffee. Apply that to this wonderful intention of bringing your children back in the faith. And then he says, of course, learn more about your faith. Live your faith with joy. And you know this, Jerry, we talk about that all the time. Let the joy just kind of come out of you so that it draws your children in. And then he says, pray and trust that God can reach them on their journey. He says, relax and go to sleep at night and know that our good Lord has them. So true. I tell you, when I was reading this, I thought that was just brilliant. I'm so happy that he wrote that to his parishioners. And Jerry, I mean, I know we were just talking about this on the break, but would you say it sounds like a simple recipe, but really, maybe that's what it takes.
It really is. Again, simple and easy are not synonymous all the time. Easy can be very, very difficult, but simple, yes, simple in the sense, let's keep it simple and not overcomplicate it. Stay out of God's way when it's necessary to do that. And I think for everyone who's concerned about some of this, not only those who are listening and calling right now, but I go back to that quote, Debbie, you'll remember I've shared it on our show several times, by St. Teresa of Avila. And she says, to reach something good, it is very useful to have gone astray and thus acquire experience. Well, what is more good, if I can put it that way, what is better than heaven and eternal salvation? So she's saying it's good to have gone astray sometimes because we acquire that experience. How many people do we know who have come back to the faith and they're so grateful after 10, 20, 30 years, and they look at that time that they were outside of practice of the faith and away from God, and they look back with such gratitude and such zeal now for the faith, and they've got a mission and a passion, and God's able to use them maybe in ways that, you know, if it had just been hunky-dory all the way along, God might not have been able to do that in and through some of us. So that's what I would add to that particular issue, Cheryl.
Cheryl, I'm going to say thank you because I really do want to get as many people on with Jerry and Debbie as I can. Let's go to Allison in New Washington, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. I don't know where New Washington ranks in my list of favorite Ohio cities. So I apologize for that, Allison. I'm going to have to rank it. But your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Hi. Well, my name is Allison. I guess you know that. So you guys have been talking a lot about what it's like as a parent who has had a child who has left the faith and just waiting for them to come back. From my perspective, it's flipped. 10 years ago, my dad left the church, became Protestant, and took my entire immediate family with him. And that was kind of a huge time of turmoil for me as a 13-year-old girl at the time. I'm 21 now. Just trying to figure out what does that mean? You know, every little girl wants just the approval and the support and the spiritual direction of their father. And to lose that was devastating, and kind of a source of abandonment, not in the sense that he left the family completely, but that I lost that sense of trust from my dad in terms of the faith. So if Jerry and Debbie have any advice at all for somebody who is strong in their faith and constantly seeking to grow, but just how to be present to my family in a time that, you know, that they're away from home, but, you know, constantly praying for them to come back.
Wow. Yeah, I'll just say a couple things here. First, Deb, if you don't mind. Allison, thanks for your call. And yeah, I'm sorry to hear that this has happened. One perhaps crucial difference here is that your father has not walked away from God, you know, walked away from Christ and a belief in Christ and, you know, his teachings and so forth, if I'm hearing you right. But he has just, as you said, left the Catholic faith for a Protestant faith. And yeah, it's easy for you. I mean, I'm sure when you were growing up, you got trained in the faith, probably received your first sacraments and all of that. So there easily could be a sense of, you know, betrayal or, like you said, abandonment. But I think the fact that he is he still going to some church, Allison, and still walking with the Lord in some fashion?
Yes. And the crazy thing is he is such a faithful Christian, and it's hard for me to see just that he's grown outside of the church, but he never really took ownership of his faith before. I think that's the problem. But yes, he does go to a Protestant church about 20 minutes away from my home parish. So they go there every week, and I go to my parish when I'm home or at the university.
Yeah, I think what you said was the key. He never really took ownership of his faith. And along the line, Debbie, there may have been a deficiency in his, you know, catechesis or something, because nobody who really knows what the Eucharist is and believes that and has received it and tasted and been enlightened by God, I think would walk away from that. So, Debbie, I think there's great, great hope here on Allison's part, you know, for her to continue living her faith fervently and joyfully, because, you know, would you rather have your dad be, a dead and dying Catholic who's not even going to church, or maybe going to church and not practice, you know, not doing anything, you know, about his faith, or be on fire, you know, maybe in another faith where, you know, Jesus can touch him and one day bring him back? So I'm rambling, Deb. Go ahead.
Not at all. You're doing great. Allison, I think you're in an awesome position. I know it's a lot to probably put upon you, but I think if you're up for the challenge, the good Lord is calling you to exactly what Jerry said. Live your faith with just joy on steroids. I mean, just go all out, and you don't have to enter into any debates or, you know, dialogue or anything. You just have to live your faith. And the people are drawn to the truth. And if they see, if your parents and your family who have gone to the Protestant church see you deepening your faith and understanding of the Eucharist and what that brings for you in your life, and they see it, it comes out of you. It just comes out of your eyes. It comes out of your heart, comes out of your soul, comes out of your being. And it's an absolute incredible thing. I would say if you're up for the challenge, ask your guardian angel to help you with this challenge and just to live your faith at the highest level you can possibly do. If it's God's timing and God's plan, you'll bring your family back into the Catholic family. What do you say, Allison?
Honestly,
I'm just curious.
I have to thank my dad, because as painful as it has been since he's left the church, I would not have found my faith if it weren't for him leaving, because that was at a crucial point in my catechesis, as you kind of inferred there. I was preparing for confirmation at the time. So this whole thing has really made me really just search for, okay, what is it I believe and why do I believe it? So I guess, yeah, I am more than willing to take up the challenge. And I never really thought about praying with my guardian angel and even asking my parents' guardian angels, my family. So I thank you so much for that advice.
Allison, you are an extraordinary person, 21 years old, and very, very inspiring in the strength and the power of your faith and joy. I really appreciate that call. Thank you. As I said, the lines just stay full for Jerry and Debbie, so I'm going to keep moving. Let us go to Catherine here in California. You are up next, Catherine. Your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Hi. Excuse me. Yes, I have a very difficult situation with my daughter. She told us, I guess it was Holy Saturday, that she has decided to change gender. So she's a transgender. She's already started the process and is taking hormones. And I had noticed that her chest was very flat. And before that, she was rather busty. And I'm afraid that maybe she either had them removed or she's bound them. But I'm very, very frightened. And I don't know what to think with the church.
Okay, fair enough. Jerry or Debbie, either of you.
Yeah, Debbie, do you want to start? I can offer a couple thoughts. It's up to you.
I was just going to say, Catherine, my heart goes out to you because, again, you know, as a parent, you want to make your child the happiest they can be, and you know that with your daughter doing this is ultimately is probably not going to make her happy, and there's a lot of problems associated with it. We're learning about the studies that are coming out when people transition. But one thing I will go back to, and I feel so strongly about this, Catherine, please do not be in a frightened mode. And what I mean by that is fear is not of God, Catherine. It is not of God. And Satan will trap you in that and will allow you to think things and do things and feel things that aren't of God. And so what I want you to do is have trust. I want you to have trust in God that your daughter is in his care, because we have to get to a point to let go and give our children over to God and say, you know what? My child is yours, Lord. I did the best I can up to this point. They have their free will. And this is a terrible path she is going down, but I can't stop it and I can't change it, Lord. She is yours. And then you have to rest in that. And you have to remind yourself constantly. And please don't allow yourself to be into a fear mode or even any type of guilt mode or anything, because that all of that is not of God. I just have to say that I felt strongly about that. It was coming through loud and clear to me to tell you that, because if you are feeling that way, that's truly not how I believe God wants you to feel. Jerry?
I would just add, it's funny, Debbie, I think one of the first things you said was she's looking for happiness. And I had just written a couple notes down here. And the first thing I wrote is she is unhappy with herself. For some reason, her self-esteem is not there, her self-worth. She doesn't realize her own dignity as she is created by God. Now, she's confused. But the thing is, she's searching. She is searching. I'm reminded, I say this often, G.K. Chesterton said one time, the young man who rings the doorbell at a brothel is actually looking for God. Okay, it's a weird statement, because you think, well, he's headed, you know, headlong towards sin and self-degradation and destruction and all of that. But no, really what he's saying is we all are looking for happiness. Remember the old Johnny Lee song, looking for love in all the wrong places. So the fact that, you know, we can take into consideration that your daughter and everybody is in a sense looking for God, because we're made to be with him. We're made to be happy with him. So count on that. Take everything that Debbie said. I can't add a possible thing to that. It was brilliant. But just understand that God has her, and your prayers, your sacrifices, the guardian angels, all of that stuff. And like Debbie said, rest, put your head on the pillow at night and say, you know what? There's nothing I can do about this. God, you take care of it.
Catherine, God bless you, and thank you very much for the call. I have to say, I struggle against a sense of anger at the people who are pushing this transgender stuff on very young children, on vulnerable teenagers, on people in their 20s and 30s. This idea of gender fluidity and all of it sounds so generous and inclusive, and what it really amounts to is child abuse in many instances, and it infuriates me. And people are vulnerable to all kinds of suggestions. So Jerry and Debbie, you are lovely and good people, and you just disciplined yourselves and answered Catherine's question. But I find that very difficult not to just be outraged at it. And I apologize for that. Maybe but I don't know if I should apologize.
It's understandable, Si. It's very understandable. It's insidious, actually.
It is insidious. Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Well, we do have to take a quick break. I want to let you know that the spring sale continues. Apparently, we are not going to waste a single day of spring. Every day there's going to be a spring sale. So I don't know, though. It could end tomorrow. They haven't told me. So if you go over to shop.catholic.com, you get 15% off everything store-wide. Oh, there's a note on here. Only 2 weeks remain to take advantage of this. So there it is. Carrie has finally decided that there will be an end to this never-ending spring sale. But hey, we're happy to give you 15% off. Just go to shop.catholic.com and use the promo code SPRING19 when you check out.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and stay tuned for more Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
A very wonderful woman I knew had 4 children, and all 4 died. And somebody went up to her one day, and they said, oh, what a pity. And she said, oh, no. What a blessing. If we don't begin to look at everything with the eyes of Jesus, you will become helpless and hopeless.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Jerry Usher, Debbie Giorgiani, our guest this hour. Hey, next hour, Carla Broussard is going to be here, and we're going to be Debbie and Jerry have both given the advice about praying to your guardian angel and praying to the saints. And for some people, you might be surprised to learn, those are actually controversial things to say about that we should be praying to our heavenly friends. But we Catholics maintain we have many, many friends in heaven, and they want to help. If you find that controversial and you'd like to talk to Carlo about it, next hour is your hour. And if you don't find it controversial but you'd like to know more about it, next hour is your hour as well. This hour we're talking with we've talked with people from all different angles, but the general idea is as parents, many of us, parents of adult children, we are either in a state of tremendous worry about our children in a world that is just like a prowling lion trying to pick them off, or they've lost the faith. They've or ended their practice of the faith, for at least for now, and it's upsetting and worrying. And so we are taking calls from those who would like some help in that area. Let's go to John in Virginia, listening to EWTN satellite radio channel 130 on Sirius Satellite Radio. John, you're up next. Your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Hi. I really have more of a comment than a question. I'm struggling with this with all three of my adult children, and they were confirmed. They were well catechized, but they lost the faith because they went through some very, very terrible and traumatic things in their life that basically shattered their faith. They feel like God abandoned them, and then they became atheists. And the advice that you keep giving about backing off is very, very good advice, but it's not so easy to do. And I had a really, really hard time with that because your human nature, you want to solve this. As a father, you want to, she said earlier, when they fall down and skin their knee, you want to solve this. And the best advice a friend gave to me is he gave me an analogy. Imagine you were taking one of your children to the emergency room. The child was really, really sick, and you're hovering over your child and you're worried about your child. Somebody from that hospital is going to pull you away from your child, because not because you don't care, not because your concern isn't genuine, you're in the way.
You're in the way.
Doctors are trying to save your child, and you're in the way.
What a great John! I'm sorry. I guess I interrupted John. I apologize. I thought you were done. But the what a great point, Jerry, Debbie, either of you.
Excellent. I was real quickly, John, as you were speaking, I could picture myself in the emergency room. You're so true. But when you think about it, we as parents, we hand off our children all the time. We hand them off to when they go to school, when they go to babysitters, when they start sports, when they go off to college, when they get married, when they get injured and we have to hand them off to doctors, when we even go in for well baby checkups, we hand them off to doctors. But yet when it comes to our faith, you're right. We hover over our children. We suffocate them because we want to fix it so quickly, because we're on a path to heaven and we want them on that same path. We know the path. Well, it may be time for us to step back, and we do the best thing we can do as parents, and we pray, and we pray hard, and we let the Blessed Mother, and we let the saints and the angels, and of course our good Lord above, take over. That I think that was great advice your friend gave you.
John, great call. I have a very strong feeling that Debbie will be stealing that analogy.
Absolutely.
Are you going to steal that and use it on your own
Definitely.
Show?
Definitely.
I could feel it as he was saying it. Let's go
Excellent.
To Marcella in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Marcella, your question or comment for Jerry and Debbie.
Yes, I had a question regarding my daughter. She left the faith a few years ago, and she comes back every now and again, and her heart seems to come back to confession. And the other day she asked me, Mom, I really need to confess something. So I told her, I'm listening. So she told me her sins, and then she asked me to absolve her from her sins. And then that struck me odd, and I felt very uncomfortable with that statement. And I told her,
that if she would like to be absolved, that she does need to speak with the priest and go to confession.
Can I just ask you, just real quick, Marcella, for a point of clarity, were they things that she had sinned against you or just sins general, things more generally?
More general.
Oh, I got you.
Not anything about me.
I got you. Okay, fair enough.
So she kind of was treating me like if I was the priest. And so I was. I told her that she would need to go to confession and speak with the priest to be absolved from her sins. And she was upset with me, and she said, "Mom, don't you know you're a priest, prophet, and king, that you could absolve me? God gave you that authority to do that." And I kind of told her what my husband mentioned, that we're of a priesthood of commonality, but I told her, I didn't really understand what he was trying to tell me, but what I did tell her was that, that Jesus instituted confession through the apostles, and there's a certain level of
I think you got it right, Marcella. I think you got it right. And because your daughter, of course, is not wrong. You are priest, prophet, and king, configured to Christ through your baptism. But Jerry and Debbie, I don't think Marcella got that wrong.
Well, of course not. I mean, there is a difference between the common priesthood and the ministerial priesthood. You were right about that, Marcella. And, you know, it could very well be that she was looking to unburden herself a little bit. She got a little bit mixed up on your ability to sort of lift those sins from her soul. But if you were able to lift them from her heart, that actually, I think, would be a very, very beautiful thing. And, you know, I just want to say, well, Debbie, go ahead and respond to Marcella. Something else I wanted to throw in, but it's not.
No, you're doing great. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, for everyone who has this concern, remember, and this is cliche, it can sound cliche, but it's not. The prodigal son, read that in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, I think is the passage. And note, be very observant there. Be very observant. You know, when the son asked for his inheritance to leave and just go do whatever he wanted, the father gave it to him. He didn't say, wait, you know, throw a lasso around him. All those years, however long it was that the son was away, does the story talk about the father going in any sense of the word looking for him? No. When the son wanted to come back, the father did run out to him, but the father didn't. And it's like Jesus, you know, when his followers, you know, on the Eucharist, you know, and then he asked the 12, you know, Lord, to whom should we go? But Jesus lost people over things as well. So when you have that burden of a child away from the faith, know that God's grace is working, and, you know, just be at peace. You know, Padre Pio, St. Pio says, you know, pray, hope, and don't worry. But Debbie, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Marcella, I think she wanted to relieve her conscience. She went to her mother. She felt comfortable with you. And she wanted you to just make it all right, like a parent wants to make it right. I think folks, I have to say this in a general sense. I'm a strong believer in everybody having a Bible that's dusted off and used, and a catechism of the Catholic Church right next to one another, right on the coffee table, and we learn together. Dive into it together. You could say possibly to your daughter, Marcella, or even this is for everybody listening, you know, let's see what the Bible has to say about this. Let's see what the catechism of the Catholic Church has to say about this. And you learn together. This is a journey we're on, and there's, as us as parents, it's a lot to put on all of us to say we have to have all the answers correct. We have to know how to defend the faith. We know how to explain the faith. No, you can learn it together. And I think there's a beauty in that. I love the fact that she came to you. She felt so comfortable to you. I would just let her know that when she's ready, she wants to take it to the next level of freedom, then take it to confession. Say, honey, if you want to take it to the next level where you can experience the greatest freedom of all, let's go to confession. You know, you have to position it in a way that it makes it very attractive and exciting for all of our children, even adult children, that it's something that is very freeing to be in the Catholic Church, not oppressive like the world tries to tell us that the Catholic Church is. It's exact opposite. I hope that helps, Marcella. You sound like a beautiful mom.
Man, do you guys talk like this every day on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie? Because I got to be tuning in then. I really...
You should, Si. I'll tell you what. Join the other five people who listen every day.
The other five. Come on. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. You can find it on the EWTN website. You can find it on the EWTN app. You can listen to it on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Debbie Giorgiani, Jerry Usher, thank you very, very much for a really helpful hour on a very important topic.
Thank
You're
you
welcome,
for
Sai.
Having
it was
us.
Great. Yeah, follow us on Facebook, Jerry and Debbie. You will find us there, and we look forward to being back on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie tomorrow morning. Thanks, Sai. Thanks, Darren. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Marie. Thanks, everybody.
Look at that, Jerry. What a pro he is. Oh, I can finally, Carlo's coming in. I can relax. I don't have Jerry Usher breathing down my neck with his professionalism. See you in a few minutes when we come back with Catholic Answers Live.